This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Earlier today, the USDA released the quarterly grain stocks and prospective plantings report. By now, you've probably heard a lot of previews and emphasis on just how important and volatile this report could be. Matt Bennett with AgMarket.net says it's going to be very hard to get a bearish soybean acreage number in this report.
Bottom line is this, there's not enough corn and bean acres unless the weather is perfect for us to build stocks levels on both. It's just not the case. And so looking at the soybean report, you know, again, I think on the stock situation, that's probably the one in which I see the least chance for a surprise, if you will. I think most of us kind of know crush has been pretty good. Yes, February is off. Inspections have been large. Disappearance has been pretty good on soybeans. We all know that. Acreage, though, is kind of a wild card. I mean, I could see anything from 87.5, which would be super bullish, up to, you know, maybe 91, 91 and a half, which in my opinion would still be a neutral number. I don't think it's going to be really hard to come up with a bearish number on soybeans when you plug in these numbers to the balance sheet. So a lot of things are going on here, but I don't see the volatility potential in soybeans as much as I see with corn because everyone seems to be throwing out these huge corn numbers. So it's going to be very interesting.
Bennett also provides some advice for producers as they take a look at their marketing plan heading into these USDA numbers.
It's wise to be in a situation where a report's not going to kill you. You know, here lately, I've had producers tell me, you know, why would I want to buy a 1240 or a 1220 no put option? Well, because it's insurance. Basically, you're insuring that worst case scenario is you sell beans significantly above anything you've seen in years, other than potentially 2020, if you were one of the few that held onto your beans, you know. So I guess coming into the report, you got to ask yourself, 452 on these corn today, yeah, that doesn't look that cool compared to 484, 485. I understand that, but what does it look like as compared to last year's price? What does it look like on a profitability situation? And so I want to lock in profit margins, quantify a worst case scenario, you know, and then keep some flexibility because you and I both know this summer could provide some gigantic fireworks if we see any sort of weather issues whatsoever.
Again, that was Matt Bennett with AgMarket.net. And in Ag News off Capitol Hill, President Biden's economic team has adjusted higher the administration's tax and spending figures for the massive infrastructure plan that Biden will start unveiling later today. The original plan called for $3 trillion in new spending and $1 trillion in new tax hikes, sources told the Washington Post. But fears such a big gap would spike interest rates and federal debt payments spurred Biden's economic team to up its numbers to $3 trillion in tax hikes to fund the $4 trillion of new spending. Farm and other business groups were already eyeing the second big Biden effort ahead of the latest figures and after passage of the nearly $2 trillion American Rescue Plan.
That second big bill is expected to have a lot of tax increases in it to pay for these new spending programs.
That's American Farm Bureau Federation Congressional Relations Director Pat Wolf, who says the increase includes rolling back the estate tax exemption.
Right now it's set at $11 million per person, but there are people who want to roll that back to five or maybe even $3.5 million. Legislation's been introduced already to combat that idea. And the idea is that for every member of Congress who supports repealing the estate tax, that's one member of Congress who is going to work to prevent a rollback of the exemption levels.
Also being considered a hike in the stepped-up basis that would boost capital gains taxes on farm assets sold and could cause a double hit at death and on top of an estate tax hike. That and other business and personal tax hikes to be followed by a social program bill will make it even harder to pass the infrastructure package, even under special rules allowing for a simple Senate majority.
If a single senator objects to a spending provision or a tax increase that's in the bill, then you don't have the votes you need to pass it. So it's really, really hard to put a bill together that all 50 Senate Democrats will support.
Republicans are already attacking Biden for backing huge spending and tax plans that would reverse many of former President Trump's 2017 tax cuts. And in State of Illinois Ag News on your Wednesday, the Soil and Water Outcomes Fund recently announced a new partnership with the Illinois Soybean Association and other groups to catalyze farmer adoption of conservation practices that generate verifiable carbon reduction and water quality improvement. In 2021, the Soil and Water Outcomes Fund will expand into Illinois, targeting 20,000 acres of new conservation practice adoption. Adam Keel, Executive Vice President of Ag Outcomes Incorporated, says the Soil and Water Outcomes Fund is a partnership of Ag Outcomes, which is a subsidiary of the Iowa Soybean Association.
Yeah, the Soil and Water Outcomes Fund is a really new and innovative approach to connecting farmers with groups that desire environmental outcomes from farms. We work with farmers to produce water quality outcomes and carbon sequestration outcomes that we then connect those farmers with customers or buyers of those outcomes. So it's really creating new markets for farmers.
The Soil and Water Outcomes Fund plans to expand to more than 100,000 acres of cropland across Iowa, Ohio, and Illinois this year.
So we started in 2020 working in only Iowa, really kind of a pilot, trying to prove out that this system of having farmers produce environmental outcomes and connecting those farmers with buyers of those environmental outcomes. And we had a very successful year. We worked on about 9,500 acres. We kept it intentionally small just to prove out that it would work. But in 2021 here, we're looking to expand not only within Iowa, but also expand into new states. So in Iowa, we're looking to enroll about 85,000 acres of farmland. In Illinois, we're looking to enroll around 20,000 acres. And also in Ohio, we're looking to enroll around 10,000 acres.
Keel also explains how farmers can qualify for the program.
We've got an online data collection platform where farmers go and create a user account. They'll be able to see if they fall in one of our eligible areas, and they provide us with some background operational data about what they have been doing, and then they tell us what they're willing to add to their operation in terms of conservation. With that data, we run a couple environmental models that tells us the amount of water quality improvements that they achieve from each field they're submitting, as well as the amount of greenhouse gas benefits that are achieved through their conservation practice that they're applying for. Then we customize a payment specific to each field and to each farmer that is really an outcomes payment. So the more outcomes a farmer produces, the higher the payment.
Payments averaged around $35 an acre in Iowa last year. Keel says the practices farmers can use include reduced tillage or no-till practices and cover crops.
Those two practices combined, that's kind of our sweet spot. And if a farmer wants to get in that upper end payment range, it's going to probably require tweaks to tillage and then the addition of cover crops. We've got some farmers that are doing other things too, looking at reducing their fertilizer application rates, also looking at changes in their crop rotations. We're not recommending that a farmer does a specific practice. We really want to make sure that they come to us with ideas and practices that work for them.
There is no acreage cap per farmer. Enrollment closes once the acre goal for the year is reached. The contract is currently 1 year at a time, and farmers can re-enroll acres if they're willing to continue or include more practices.
When they sign the contract, we initiate a 50% payment to them because there's going to be costs around these conservation practices that they're implementing. And then once the crop year is complete and we've been able to verify that everything has been completed per the terms of the contract, we'll make the other 50% of the payment that's due for this particular year.
When enrolling in the Soil and Water Outcomes Fund, farmers cannot also use government cost share programs. Enrollment started back on March 1st, and farmers interested in enrollment should visit theoutcomesfund.com to learn more or contact their Nutrien Ag Solutions representative. And it's that time of year again for pesticide applicators and operators to renew their licenses. Brad Beaver is with the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Bureau of Environmental Programs.
We're offering small capacity in-person testing sessions so people can go to the department's website, sorted by city, and find out where the closest in-person testing session to them is. But we also have an online system that's gone, it's a fully proctored system. We've had about 7,000 people now. We just hit the 7,000 mark yesterday, people that have gone through that online system and taken their exam online. There's a proctoring service that actually live proctors those exams. So we're doing those across the state for the in-person, but the online exams have given people an opportunity to take exams at any time, whether it's 3 o'clock in the morning or it's 12 o'clock in the afternoon. There's a proctor available to sign up for that online exam to be able to meet their requirements for their pesticide applicator operator testing requirements.
Again, you can find additional information online at the Illinois Department of Agriculture's website. In other State of Illinois Ag news, the latest crop progress and condition report was released for the month of March. This does include the last few days of February as well. Overall, statewide, the average temperature for March was 45.4 degrees, about 5 degrees above normal for March. Precipitation for the month of March is averaged just over 4 inches, about an inch and a third above normal. As of March 28th, this past Sunday, the topsoil moisture supply was 1% very short, 5% short, 65% adequate, and 29% surplus. Moisture in the subsoil was rated 1% very short, 8% short, 75% adequate, and 16% surplus. And the winter wheat condition for this past Sunday was rated at 10% very poor to poor, 20% fair, 54% good, and 16% excellent. In other state ag news for your Wednesday, the calendar flips to April tomorrow. So what does that mean for weather for the upcoming month?
Well, I think we're going into a pattern with less precipitation across the Midwest. We've had some, fairly substantial precip across the Midwest over the past 2 or 3 weeks. A lot of that has fallen in the form of rain because March has been a warmer than normal month. And I think that may have slowed some early field work in the Midwest. And certainly our neighbors to the south have had some problems with heavy rain recently down in the southeast. The weather pattern into next week, I think, is going to favor more dry days, kind of changeable temperatures, not a lot of precipitation. This temperature is cooling down below normal for the first few days of April. Then it looks like a rapid warm-up coming in late this week into the weekend. So I think that, in general, we're going to see better drying conditions on numerous days into next week and relatively light precipitation. I think that will probably lead to generally an increase in field work across the Midwest as we move into those first several days of April.
And that was freeze notice meteorologist Dan Hicks, and he says most parts of Illinois should see 70s coming up on Easter Sunday. And that concludes your Ag News here on a Wednesday afternoon. But remember, you can always email us your Ag News to WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Wednesday afternoon, March 31st, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.